Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the meeting of the Board of Directors of the WMATA. My name is Jack Evans, Chairman of the Board, and the first item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. So I'd like to move the agenda at this point. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion of the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Now we'll go to Mr. Corcoran for the certification of executive session.
I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and no individual member dissenting that on April 14th at the board executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under the bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by this board. I have a second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the March 24th, 2016 meeting and the April 14th, 2016 executive sessions. So I'd like to move approval of the minutes for those two meetings. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Now we'll go to public comment. We have two on a public comment list, Mr. Kenneth Dale Briston. Mr. Briston, come on up to wherever you're supposed to go. Over here. And welcome to WMATA.
Thank you. Sir, ladies, gentlemen, on Wednesday, April 20th, I happened to be taking the Metro at Anacostia, and there was a fight going on. My problem is that I was wondering about the security of each. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I was wondering about the security of each station. I was the one that had to call the police, and you had at least five Metro employees there, and they were just laughing. The children that were there who were starting a fight, they looked at me. One of them said, "It's not your business," and that kind of angered me, but I understood the dynamics of human behavior. My question is it possible that we can have at least one Metro police and one police from the District of Columbia at each station to patrol and to see what's going on and everything like that? Because I see you have the facilities there. I have some security background in both the Metro police and, you know, security. And secondly, I was wondering if you, what kind of accountability do you have for employees who just sit there and laugh? It could have been prevented if they were there and just say, "Hey, you got to move on." Now, these were teenagers. Third, I would like to say, when I called the police, when I called 911, they said that I should have called Metro Police. Is there any way that you could have 911 and Metro Police integrated into each other? When you call 911, they ask you, do you want fire, EMS, or police? Okay. So that's one of the main things that I was wondering, and that's kind of bothering me. And do your police, last one is that, can your police have, like, constitutional classes to teach them basic laws? Do you have anything like that? That's basically what I want to speak to.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments, and maybe someone from the staff can help Mr. Briston with
Bristow. Bristow, thank you.
With some answers to those questions. Thank you very much. Our next witness is public comment is Denise Rush. Ms. Rush, welcome to the Board of Directors of Metro.
My name is Denise Rush, and I am the vice chair of the AAC committee. I want to know, I've received many calls about when we're using...
Yeah, I can barely hear.
It is on.
Okay. All right. I'm the vice chair of the AAC, Denise Rush. I received many calls about when they're using the fixed route and we're handicapped, and something happens on the Metro train, you don't know what's happening for 20, 30 minutes. That is too long to be not notified as to what has happened on the train. especially the blind community. We're already in the dark, and we're just sitting there, and it's not moving. The train's not moving. Nobody's saying what's wrong. Is there a way that the train that has been stopped can announce what the problem is, you know, when it happens, and people aren't sitting there not knowing what is happening? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rush. It's a very good comment. It's something I know our general manager is working on, and he will give us an update on that. Okay, thank you. I believe that's all we have signed up for our public comment today. So we'll go to our next item on the agenda, which is a report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan. Mr. Sheehan, welcome to WMATA.
Mike is what? All right, thank you very much. I think the first thing that I would like to say today is congratulations to the support that the Access Advisory Committee gets from the Office of ADA Program and Office of Access Services. I don't think I've said this recently, but the reason why we can provide recommendations to the board is because of the terrific support we get from that group. Christian Kent, Bimo Gwynn, Christian Blake, and the entire staff do a great job of supporting the committee. When we've needed data, when we needed information, they provide it for us. When we come up with a plan for what we want to do, we see that it gets executed because of the support that they get. I know that there's a lot going on within WMATA. I know resources are probably being shifted around from here to there. But I wanted to express to the board that the reason why the AAC is effective is because we get terrific support from these offices, and I appreciate that very much, and I know the committee does too. We don't always agree with them, and we certainly give them our opinions, but they actually go way above and beyond what they need to do so that the AAC can give you good information. We appreciate that. A couple other areas that I wanted to comment on concerning the alternative paratransit system that's being considered. We want to, my committee, and there's been lots of discussions on the committee and related discussions from the disability community, we want to ensure that whatever alternative paratransit system gets considered lives up to the intent and the spirit of what the ADA is all about. We know that there are a lot of considerations going on with respect to the RFI. We understand that that's gone out to the industry, and we're watching and we're concerned, and we want to make sure that we don't lose any ground with respect to where we've gone with paratransit, making sure that if there is a new system brought alongside, that it retains what we have within the current paratransit system. Concerning cooperation between MDOT, Maryland Department of Transportation, and WMATA, I am on a MDOT governor's board that deals with pedestrian access, and last I had made a request that we have someone from WMATA talk about, from Jim Henry's office, talk about snow removal. What is WMATA's policy? And we had individuals from Montgomery County and Prince George's County at a meeting last week. And I want to tell you that the amount of information and the type of information that WMATA supplied to that and the individuals that attended were very well appreciated. It's nice to see the cooperation between Maryland Department of Transportation and WMATA, and appreciated when I reached out that I was able to get that information. A couple of things that we brought up in the past, dealing with trains, a safety issue with respect to trains when they come into a station. We've talked about them waiting 5 seconds at the platforms, you know, so that when the doors open, you've got a certain amount of time to get on that train. So we'd like to make sure that that happens and that that's instituted, and the drivers are reminded that they do need to wait on that platform for that certain amount of time. And then lastly, we have two more things. We have a lighting project that we've been working on. We have a meeting set up with the general manager for the 13th of May to look at where we are with respect to the lighting project. I think in some ways we've exceeded areas in which we expected to. Other way, and in other areas, I think a few stations were a little bit behind schedule. But I think all in all, we've got a very good workable plan. One of the committees that is one of the groups of disabled people who've been very involved with this requested a meeting with Mr. Wiedewald, and he graciously accepted that. So we appreciate the interest that is being shown as far as the lighting is concerned, and that project in particular. And then lastly, we have another briefing coming up with respect to safety issues, and I know Denise just brought that up a few minutes ago, and we'll be talking about that on first Monday in May. One of the things that I think also that's been instituted that I think is very important is that there is regional cooperation now between Maryland, Virginia, and DC with individuals who have disabilities who have been assigned to work and help create a uniform project and education and training within the WMATA system that is used within Maryland, Virginia, and DC. The individual from Maryland that I know of is a lady who uses a guide dog. She's blind. She was a paramedic and a firefighter, captain when she was able to see. So she brings a wealth of information, and we have the same expertise in DC and in Virginia that is being shared with WMATA, so that working with disabled people to make sure that they have access to the same kind of training and the training given to first responders within WMATA, I think is very critical. So I think that's going to be a very good project. The fact that you're working with professionals in the field from Maryland, DC, and Virginia who have been doing this for years and years, I think is going to improve the product that WMATA has coming forward, so you'll have uniform processes throughout the jurisdictions. That is my report for today. I think we've had a good month. Looking forward to a couple of meetings in the month of May. Are there any questions for me?
Any questions? No, no questions. Thank you very much.
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Okay, the next speaker is a report by the Riders Advisory Council, Ms. Hermanson. Ms. Hermanson, welcome to the WMATA board meeting.
Thank you, and good morning. See if I can get this in the right place. Okay. I just want to talk about a few of the highlights from our month as well, as Patrick has done. And there is the letter inside the packet that everyone has. Just a few things we wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about. One is that we were very lucky. We were very busy at our April meeting of the full RAC. We had Mr. Leofeld speak to us and share his priorities, share as he does and has done probably hundreds of times since in the last few months, so that others understand his priorities. We know his calendar has got to be just crazy, and so getting to meet with us in an evening, because we're a volunteer group and meet only in the evenings, is something we really appreciate. I think it's really important that all of our RAC members, because he's new to us and we have new members in total, that he is the face of WMATA to those people in terms of the one that they see written about in the paper and see on TV. And so knowing and having a chance to interact is really an important thing. That's not just a GM or the staff. It's him, and so that was wonderful. We also had representatives from the Office of Emergency Management, Ron Bodmer, and three of his people. We talked a little bit about the last evacuation drill, the one at Eisenhower Station, and also just about a lot of the work. It's mind-boggling, I think, just to know all the various flavors of disasters or emergency situations that could exist, and knowing that they are they have plans to tackle everyone that they can possibly think of is quite a comfort to writers. We're really devoted to participating in the drills that they have, and as an outgrowth of that meeting, we actually have designated one of our RAC members to be a liaison to Mr. Bodmer's group to work as they're planning and executing the drills, to be a liaison with the RAC. And that's Christine Madden, who's a brand new member from Arlington but has a safety background, and so we're excited to have her with us. We do have five new members that joined us this month on the RAC. One of the challenges of having these very well-recruited and highly regarded people join our group is that other people want them too, and sometimes it's a job offer that takes them away from DC. One of them even went to another country. So four of those five were that sort of job-oriented thing. We know that it's a lot of work to recruit and to find the people that they think would be an asset to the RAC from Jason and Joy. And we appreciate the time that the board members, some of you interviewed people this go-round and then passed them on for approval. So we do appreciate that. On our work plan, I think we have the longest work plan in our history that I know of, at least the longest time I've been around here. We have a couple of items on our work plan that we've already passed recommendations on to the board, but many, many are in the works. And just as Patrick mentioned, we depend on the support of the staff to help us understand the current situation and to feel out what some changes might be that would be of benefit. So we will be continuing on that work plan for the rest of the year and appreciate that the support we get from the board and the information that we get from the staff that helps us do that. A couple of the things that have come up that we are working on will be to provide feedback on the select pass and feedback on the bus ETA system. We know those are both things that were carefully thought out and long in the works, but we want to give them our own try and provide our feedback. We know there's been a lot of feedback come in and just kind of echo some of that and some of what we've experienced of our own. I think that's it for today. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay. Seeing none? Okay, thank you very much for your
thank
report.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is report by the chair. So good morning, everyone. We have a very important business item. We have some very important business items before us today, so I'll keep my remarks brief. On today's agenda, the board will be asked to approve the FY 2017 capital budget and the FY 2017-22 capital improvement program. Program funds critical safety and security investments for customers and employees, provides for the rehabilitation and replacement of Metro's transit assets, and supports service initiatives to improve reliability and regain customers' trust. This updated capital budget has expense forecasts aligned with realistic project schedules without shifting priorities away from safety projects. The FY 2017 budget is also now programmatically aligned with the FTA asset management and grants administration requirements. Total planned FY 2017 capital expenditures are $950 million as compared to the original December 2015 proposal of $1.13 billion and are supported by the FTA grant programs and a one-year extension of the current capital funding agreement. This one-year extension marks a reset. The jurisdictions agreed that Metro needs to reset its capital program before a new six-year funding agreement can be finalized. This coming year, staff will complete a condition-based needs assessment and present an updated capital needs inventory to the board to better inform the FY 2018 budget process. Next, I would like to congratulate the Governance Committee on its efforts over the last few months to revise the board's bylaws and procedures. In February, the board approved revisions to the bylaws and procedures regarding committee realignment and committee assignments, with the understanding that the board would again review the committees to ensure they were in sync with the general manager and CEO's new organizational structure. Based on the GM's reorganization, the governance committee facilitated new committee structures to better align with the critical areas for focus and oversight by the board in the coming year. Additionally, the committees have set up to ensure thoughtful but nimble decision-making and oversight. We look forward to approving these important governance changes today. Once approved, the committees will begin developing goals and work plans for the coming year at its upcoming retreat. Finally, in an effort to focus the board on oversight and allow our general manager and his team to focus on running the agency, the board is going to conduct a trial where it would only be meeting once a month during the months of May and June. Next month, we will conduct our committee meetings on May 12th. There will be no board activities on May 26th. Then on June 9th, we will have our board meeting for May business in the morning, followed by June committee meetings. If we find this new approach works well, we will amend our procedures to reflect the new scheduling. If we find it doesn't work, then we'll come up with a different plan. We just wanted to ensure the public is aware of these changes for the coming months. And that concludes my remarks. So next on the agenda is the report by the general manager and the CEO.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'll keep my comments brief, but I do want to hit on my three top priorities: safety, service reliability, and fiscal management. But first, in terms of safety, I wanted to address some of the incidents we've had recently at the red line between Van Ness and Medical Center. Two distinct incidents have occurred. One obviously was the one we had Saturday, which was a foreign object that the train came in contact with, or something occurred in that area. That's still under investigation, but we did eliminate a power issue related to that in terms of any power cables or anything of that sort. The other issues, which we've actually played out in the last few days, is Arkin insulators, and as any of the board members know, that portion of the system, that section of the red line, is very difficult in terms of where it was built and the depth of it, and then the construction technique that was used, which allows a lot of moisture into that area. It's been studied for literally decades. So working with FTA, we've been working on this since these started to occur Monday and Tuesday, but I'm basically initiating a maintenance surge in that area, again from Van Ness to Medical Center Station, where we will be basically replacing insulators if they need to be replaced, doing more leak mitigation in terms of moisture, drain cleanage. There's a lot of both moisture and also soil that gets into that area. So there's mud and trash removal, third rail repairs if they're needed. We expect all the power cables and any cable boots in that area. And then as that is cleaned up, we will do a thermal imaging just to make sure there's no issues with power and any types of hot spots in that area. This will require single tracking of the red line between Van Ness and Medical Center. We actually started that this morning at 10 o'clock. It'll run to 3 today, and then we'll reinstitute single tracking at 8 p.m. tonight. We'll do the same tomorrow, single track between 10 and 3 and 8 p.m. tomorrow night in that one section. And then this weekend, we will single track the entire weekend between those two stations as well. I want to make sure that we're giving customers as much notice as we could on this, but they can expect 20-minute delays during that time period of the single tracking. And we will complete the work by Sunday. Another issue that came up since we last met was the FTA inspection and what they did in their safety blitz. They submitted a number of things that we needed to respond to both last week and this week. We have done both. One is due today, which we'll respond later today. One dealt with some basic core issues, whether it's fire extinguishers, keeping the tunnels clean, and things of that sort. So we have a whole plan and program that we're doing that immediately. There's some other ones that are a little longer term in terms of lighting, for instance, that we will give them a schedule of how we're going to meet that. The other issue, which we've already addressed, is the runway protection, basically doing refreshing training for all of our employees that do anything that deal with anything with the right-of-way. So we have completed that for everyone that's basically on property. If people are out on vacation, when they come in, they'll get that training before they're allowed to go back into the system in any way. So that is being handled. And finally, on the safety side, I did announce earlier this month that a new chief of safety has been hired, Pat Lavin. He will join us on May 9th, and he actually will join me at the NTSB hearing on the 3rd of this month, or of May. He does come with 30 years experience. What I find extremely valuable for me is that he comes with 20 years of experience down in the tunnels of New York City in dealing with that transit system. So he has hands-on experience and knows what he's looking at and knows what he's talking about when he's talking to other professionals in that arena. And my focus for him will be on, obviously he will do any investigations, but more importantly is both the prevention and ongoing inspection of the system. And that's where I will have him focus. So I'm glad to have him on board. In terms of service reliability, as I've been mentioning for about a month now, I will be coming out very shortly with a track plan to basically avoid some of the problems that we've been having and to try to create a shorter time frame for getting the system back up to a state of good repair. It will address both past and recent FTA and NTSB safety findings sooner, and that's part of the plan. We will set out timetables for completion of the work, and we'll provide customers early advance notice of what we're about to do and what's coming up in the next few months. We will be seeking assistance from all of the local jurisdictions in support of this. So we'll be coming out with a draft plan in the near future, and then we'll ask them to help us, whether it's traffic mitigation, additional buses, traffic signalization, prioritization, any of those types of things that we can do. So we'll be looking for them. But clearly what this plan reflects is that it will require more sacrifice from our customers in terms of the impact it will have on the service availability, and but clearly with 168 hours in the week, and we're only getting out on the track, and 135 of those are being used for revenue service. It's awfully hard to catch up, and the current plan just is not working, in my estimation. And as you know, the NTSB and FTA has repeatedly recommended that we get more track time out there to do the maintenance and safety actions we need to do. On the fiscal management side, the fiscal management oversight update, the FMO update, as you know, we did provide in June all 65 corrective actions. As of today, we've submitted, which requires basically a validation by the FTA. As of today, we've submitted 16 of the 20 steps in that validation plan. 5 of those have been confirmed and closed, and we'll continue to work those issues going forward. 11 of them are under review currently by the FTA, and we're waiting for their final concurrence with those, and 4 have future deadlines, so we'll be submitting those as quickly as possible to meet those deadlines. Clearly for us is to get out of the ECHO restrictions as quickly as possible. That both costs us dollars in terms of front-loading dollars, and then also puts us in a financial standing in a bad place. We want to get that as quickly as we can, and we're working with FTA to do that. Fiscal year 16 audit, we're working very closely with the OIG's office and the auditors, the contractors on board. We've been meeting with them on a regular basis. We've done a lot of the preliminary work, and we're on time and on schedule for that to meet the fall deadline for the audit. Capital spending, we're forecasting now that we will spend $900 to $1 billion this current fiscal year, which I believe is probably the most we've spent in a number of years, and it's been a focus of mine, as you know, and as the chairman just mentioned, will continue to be going forward, and that's why we did the one-year reset on the program. Just 2 other things. One is the sale of this building. I am pursuing that actively, and we basically are doing a number of things internally to make sure that we know where people work and what makes the most sense for where they should report to work, where they live, how that impacts them. But we really are looking at a 30 to 40 year time frame as we make this decision. So we'll be coming out in the early summer with some of our thoughts on that. And then finally on parking, we are pursuing outside operators for the parking operations of the system, and we'll have an RFP out on the street very shortly on that. So with that, that concludes my comments, and thank you for your attention.
Okay, any questions for the general manager, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Goldman. Thank you. Paul, just for the benefit of the public, since I'm the principal. Hello?
Oh, just have a seat. We'll get back
to you. We'll direct your question in a minute. principal, as I'm the principal director from Maryland, from Montgomery County, I just want to clarify. So the single tracking will be between the stations of Van Ness and Medical Center.
Yes, sir.
And it has begun today and will be in off-peak hours from today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I wasn't clear if you were saying Sunday as well.
It's Sunday as well.
Sunday as well. And so by Monday morning, we'll be back to regular service on the red line.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And do you have an estimate of what number of minutes of delay passengers, riders can expect, so people can prepare their...
About 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes additional.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Planning their trip, so yes, require additional 20 minutes. Thank you.
Further questions from the board members first for the general manager? No other questions?
Yes.
Just hold on a second. Paul, I have one question, kind of comment. Given the several incidents we've had on the red line, I'm getting a lot of questions about why are we having so many incidents on the red line, number one. And then number two, there's still a concern of people riding the trains. If we do have an incident where smoke is involved, what do we do? One of my colleagues on the council raised that the other day at our big breakfast meeting. I assume we practice for this, that if we have something, everybody knows. How do we get the public aware of what to do in case there's an incident? So sure. Those are the sure. Two things, red line and how to...
Sure. The red line, Mr. Chairman, is the, you know, as you know, that's our deepest part of the system. It's one of the deepest, actually, in North America. And when that construction was done, it was a boring machine that basically cut through the bedrock there. And because of that, it wasn't sealed. The technology was not there at the time, so it leaks, and literally water, you know, constantly goes through there. There's been there was a USGS study done in 2004, I believe, that went through the complications of that. It has been recognized for years. There's literally pumps there that are pumping out millions of gallons of water constantly to try to keep that dry. So that's the core issue that we're dealing with. Not only does the moisture come in, but it brings sediment. And that creates mud, which creates other issues, which then leads to arcing, particularly for the electricity. So that's the red line issue that we've been dealing with for decades, and it's very expensive. Now there is technology that we could fix that. It's very expensive, and we have to basically go out there and figure a way to do that. In terms of what happens in an incident, if it's in the tunnel, basically the customers have to follow the guidance from the operator, the train operator, which is what occurred exactly on Saturday. The train operator did that. There actually were two train operators on that particular train. There was one that was deadheading back. And basically they have to manage it. They're contacting the rail operations center to find out what's going on. They're telling them what's going on. Meanwhile, fire and everyone else is responding to it. Again, if it's in the tunnel, you have the one person there. They're communicating both by the system on the cars, if that's working, again. And then they physically walk the train as well. They have bullhorns and things of that sort. So that's how customers have to react to that person. Meanwhile, the emergency responders are basically responding to it, and they will do what they do. Once a incident like that occurs, the fire department has control of the situation. They basically call all the shots at that point, and they handle it. And that's what the head of our riders union talked about. We do those drills, live drills, to practice that constantly. So that is what, that's how we do it.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions, Corbett?
Yeah. I had the pleasure of visiting Montgomery County Sheriff's Office on now.
Is it on now? Paul, I had the pleasure of going out to Minnesota Avenue. I had gone out there several months ago at the request of Council Member Silverman and Council Member Yvette Alexander. And I saw some conditions out there that I was concerned about, but they have since been taken care of. So I'd like to commend your staff for taking care of those items. I also further had a chance to interact with the public there. And I assured them that we at WMATA were very concerned about their station and all the stations throughout our system. And to that end, I've also agreed to go out to Deanwood to visit that particular station. But I want to just commend your staff. I think it went quite well. and we need to continue to do that. One of the items, two items were brought up. One item dealt with the overhangs for or the lack thereof for the escalators, because I think the water penetration or something causes some issues. The second item, they were concerned about security, and I did inform them, based on our conversation, that we were beginning to develop plans to address that. But it's also my understanding that in certain key stations, we have begun that process of doing that with the chief and so forth. So I just want to commend you for your leadership and for your concern about the well-being of all of our riders throughout the entire region.
Thanks, sir. And you know, that's something that we have to revisit every day, though, just because of you know the conditions. We have to adjust on a timely basis. If I could just mention on the overhangs on over escalators, there's some issues there that we're working on as well. I've met with the head of basically the labor department in effect, that licensing department in Maryland, because some of the issues are in Maryland, because there are certain things we have to get certified before we can put those in. So we are working that as well.
So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, this gentleman, you had a question?
No.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm willing to wait. You've recognized
me already. No.
Right. It's okay.
Okay. If you would just come up. I have to be honest with you, since I've only been chair of one other meeting, I'm not sure how we ever handled this before. So come up.
Mr. Chairman.
Ask a question, and then we'll go forward from there. Yes.
He actually missed the sign-up for public comment, so we can actually have staff follow up with him after this meeting, but this part is for the board to be asking.
Okay, well, in the future, just sign up. But go ahead, ask your question. I hate to cut somebody off in the public.
Well, the last time I spoke here...
What's that?
The last time I spoke here was December 17, 2015. I addressed the board.
Would you speak up? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Would you speak up, please?
The last time I spoke before y'all, it was December 17, 2015. But I don't remember none of y'all face, or maybe y'all had two boards, I don't know. But my problem is, I was hurt on the job, and I can't get a copy of my workman's conversation file so I can get paid and move forward with my life. I talked to the general manager, he told me he was gonna look into it. And I've been picking it out front for 2 years now. I can't get my money, I can't get my retirement, I can't move forward. And I'm only going by word of mouth, Miss Mary Fleming. So I'm trying to find out, is she the general manager or is he the general manager? He told me he was going to check in and this. I still haven't heard not one word. And y'all are a different board from where I spoke to on December the 17th. I don't know what's happening, but the Lord says that they must give me a copy of my workman conversation file. That's the law.
Okay. All right. We will have somebody from the staff talk to you right after the meeting. Okay.
Thank you very much for coming up
to ask your question. Okay. Any further questions from
yes,
the board?
Yes, sir.
Or anyone else?
Yes, sir.
Or somebody else? Oh, yes. You did.
Thank you, Mr.
Sorry.
Chairman. So, Mr. Riedefeld, this morning the Post details in a story some issues with moving violations for buses. And, of course, it raised alarms for me in seeing the headline, given the relatively high rates of satisfaction our riders have for the bus system. And I was concerned that this could possibly lead to an erosion of that. But as I read the article, it seems that in a larger attempt to conflate issues that we're having on rail with moving citations on buses, what was obscured in the story was that actually the rate of citations has gone down. At least that's what it appeared to me by looking at the data. Could you just give some context for this, since it is a story in the news today, to just give the overall perspective of where bus safety is in terms of moving violations and citations, because the article kind of gave several different impressions.
Yeah, I believe overall it's very. I mean, I think they do a very good job of abiding by it, but we do not tolerate, you know, it internally. So if someone doesn't move in violation, we have things that we can do about that as well. But I think overall the numbers are extremely low.
Okay, thank you. Further, All right, our next item is the employee spotlight, Mr. Wiedefeld. So.
Okay. Today I'm pleased to recognize Ms. Shamika Harris, a rail operator from Largo Division and a five-year Metro employee. On March 5th at approximately 5:15 p.m., Operator Harris was approached by approaching the McPherson Square station when she noticed a customer laying in the track bed. He had fallen in the track bed after his knee had given out. Operator Harris calmly stopped her train before making contact with the man and immediately notified the rail operations central control, where while Rock shot down third power and alerted emergency responders, Ms. Harris made appropriate announcements to keep her riders calm and on board the train. Once given permission by central control, she escorted riders through her train and safely onto the platform. The customer was transported to a local hospital by emergency personnel with non-life-threatening injuries. Thanks to Ms. Harris, her keen observations, quick actions, both he and the riders on her train remained safe. Today, we take the opportunity to thank Ms. Harris for being aware and alert of the conditions around her and for averting potential fatal ordeal. Thank you, Ms. Harris. If you could join me.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is a report by the Capital Program Procurement and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Price.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I basically have three items. I'll probably do a reverse order. The staff brought to us seeking authorization for the general manager and CEO to negotiate and execute an amendment to the joint development agreement for the White Flint East Metro Rail Station site. Before I move that, I'd like Mr. Goldman would like to make any comments. Feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I appreciate the opportunity. This is a very important development project for Montgomery County. This is a site that's located on Rockville Pike across from a major commercial residential mixed-use development called Pike and Rose. And it's a site which the county has designated for future commercial development of a number of interesting organizations, including a small worldwide company called Marriott. So I appreciate the efforts of your committee in bringing us to this point today and making this possible to continue this exercise with this parcel for the county and the state. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Would you like the pleasure of moving this?
I would appreciate the opportunity, and I'd like to move this approval of this change to the White Flint Joint Development Agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Being none, so approved. The next item is the sale of the Stone Straw Building in Northeast Washington. The staff is seeking approval for the sale of the Stone Straw Building located at 900 Franklin Street Northeast in the District of Columbia with the right to lease back the site for up to 2 years. I would like to move for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
There being none, so approved. The next item is the Ames Place Northeast parking lot sale. The staff is seeking approval for the sale of the Ames Place parking lot located at 31st Street Northeast and Ames Place Northeast in the District of Columbia to the District of Columbia government with the right to lease back a portion of the site for up to 3 years. I would like to move that for approval, please. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? There being none, so approved.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Price. Next item on the agenda is a report by the Customer Service Security and Planning Committee, Mr. Goni.
following actions were referred to the board at the April 14th meeting of the Customer Service Security and Planning Committee, and I want to thank Mr. Dorsey for chairing that, that committee meeting. Staff sought approval for a temporary, annually recurring public mural art project for placement on the walls of the underpass at the West Hyattsville Metro Rail Station. This project is fully funded by the Hyattsville Community Development Corporation, and the mural painting will be done as part of the Hyattsville Community Development Corporation's annual Bursting on the Scene Arts event. I'd like to move approval of that project. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Station name changes is the second item before us. As you may recall, with the changes to the Silver Line, we have an opportunity to change names at stations. The District Department of Transportation submitted two requests to the board. And in compliance with Metro station naming policy, those DDOT proposals included letters of support from the community, et cetera. We also conducted a customer survey to test name efficacy. And at the board meeting that Mr. Dorsey chaired, at the committee meeting that Mr. Dorsey chaired, we also got additional testimony. The committee then approved name changes to the two Metro Rail stations in the District of Columbia proposed by DDOT, the addition of National Mall as the secondary name to the Smithsonian Station, and the addition of Kennedy Center as a secondary name to the Foggy Bottom George Washington University Station. Per Metro's station name policy, the District of Columbia has committed to cover costs related to station name changes that are beyond the Silver Line signage plan. I'd like to move approval of those name changes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
May I just say something, Mr. Trigoni?
Please.
It's just to provide a little elaboration on the conversation that the committee had. Certainly the rider survey identified a majority support for adding Smithsonian as the secondary name to the National, adding National Mall as a secondary name to the Smithsonian stop. The Kennedy Center proposal met with less support from the public survey. There was a compelling case made that this could aid in placemaking in the Foggy Bottom neighborhood and also broaden economic diversity in terms of access to the Kennedy Center and its programs by providing a very clear link between the many ways that one could get there and not just the reliance on parking, which not only serves to perhaps open up the Kennedy Center to a wider array of people, but also to reduce traffic congestion and the strain of parking. So I think those arguments ultimately carried the day despite the feeling that adding Kennedy Center would be very long and unwieldy and somewhat contrary to Metro's policy.
Thank you. Please.
Harriet, if I could, or Paul, maybe you would have an answer to this. When would be the next expected time that there would be a review period for one of the jurisdictions to consider? Would it be Potomac Yard? Will it have to be changed for that, or is there?
Can I get back to you just so I don't want to give you a wrong date, but I'll get back to you on that.
I would just suggest that the Silver Line station name changes are not super imminent, so there could even be time now to consider others. I think our committee was honestly surprised that we only got two submittals. So not to create a rush to the door to change the names of all your stations, but it's possible that it could be considered even contemporaneously. Any other discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is a report by the Finance Committee. Mr. Goldman.
Moving right along, the following two actions were referenced, referred to the board at the April 15th meeting of the Finance Committee. First, the Securities and Exchange Commission may have approval of resolution for 5-2. Series 2016A bond is the agreement between the principal, 3% premium cost, 5 years final proof. Proceeds of the short-term debt disputes will provide for interim funding for capital expenditures and reduce Metro's reliance on the outstanding amount of money.
Mr. Goldman, turn your mic on.
I was wrong.
Now we're on. Okay. Do you want me to repeat that?
No. We all heard it.
I then move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The second item is the FY17 capital budget adoption that the chair referred to in his opening remarks. Staff seeks board approval of a $950 million FY2017 capital budget and a six-year, $6 billion capital improvement program. This capital program funds critical safety and security investment for customers and employees, including delivery of a large number of the new 7,000 series rail cars that will replace the 40-year-old 1,000 series rail cars in its entirety at some point, provides for rehabilitation and replacement of Metro's transit assets, and supports service initiatives to improve reliability and regain customer trust and confidence. I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It is adopted. It's passed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Goldman. So we've gotten the operating and the capital budget done.
We have.
In record time.
For 2017.
Thank you for your work on that. All right. Report of the Governance Committee, Ms. Harley.
Good morning. The following actions were referred to the board at this morning's meeting of the Governance Committee. Revisions to board bylaws and procedures. The Governance Committee approved revisions to the board's bylaws and procedures to reflect changes to the board's committee structure and assignments. The new committee structure is intended to better align with the general manager CEO's new organizational structure. I move approval of the items coming out of the Governance Committee.
Second. Is there any discussion?
Any discussion?
That came up in the committee meeting, and that's just to add the words information technology to the list of things that the administration committee is responsible for. So we could take care of that now if the board so approves it. Can I amend the motion to add the line?
Certainly.
Okay. So I think
if you're making an amendment, we'll need a second to that.
Anyone want to second it? Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Can we vote on the amendment first, right?
Yes.
Can we take a vote on the amendment? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? No opposed. The amendment is approved. And can we take a vote now on the agenda item with the amendment added? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It is approved with the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now we're on to the reports by the jurisdictions. Mr. Price, anything from the District of Columbia? Okay, from WSTC, Ms. Harley. Okay, NVTC, Mr. Cochran.
No report.
Federal government, Mr. Downey.
No report at this time, but I would say keep your eyes open for a report from Secretary Fox.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any other items to come before the board? See none, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.